Girls are not okay right now. As Jessica Bennett wrote for the New York Times in 2023, study upon study over the previous year showed girls face levels of sadness and hopelessness, in fact, double that of boys. Girls are anxious, inundated with constant and conflicting messages about how to dress, look, act, and be on platforms that have been shown to be toxic to them and where they also face frequent harassment. Girls are facing high rates of eating disorders and body dysmorphia. Girls whose confidence often drops below that of boys during adolescence, and for many never catches up, describe feeling more alone than ever, even as their likes and their follows surge. But girls are going to be okay, and we need to make sure of that. And here's how. I'm Megan Murphy, Global Executive Director with the International Coalition of Girls' Schools, and this is On Educating Girls Shorts, an audio offering from the Coalition that doesn't replace the podcast, but provides practical tips and advice in a short, easily digestible format. In this episode, we turn to some insights from previous episodes on how to navigate social media with girls, how to foster digital well-being in an online world seemingly designed for the opposite.
And there's been certainly research done that shows how a significant consumption of social media, we're talking, you know, more than 3 hours a day, can lead to increased, you know, feelings of insecurity and lower self-worth because of how much comparison goes on. And that research is so important to keep in mind as we think about, as educators, as parents, as users of technology, how can we help, you know, these students make positive moves and strike a balance with technology, press send on things that represent their core values, and of course, handle all the different social pressures that come with the world of social media and technology. The latest, you know, research showing 95% of students now have access to smartphones, and social media is simply how they are social. We can put restrictions in place, but it's not going away fully anytime soon. So the more that we can get ahead of this and help students, the better.
That was Laura Tierney, the founder and CEO of the Social Institute, which helps students navigate social media to fuel their well-being and future success. The following voice note from a student at one of our member schools shares how restricting access is one strategy, but it has consequences.
I am not a big social media user at all. My parents have kind of regulated and been like, hey, we don't want you to have this or this. And even though I'm here and I like could, I respect their decisions. And so right now I only have Snapchat, and that's how I like connect with my friends. And I think it's had a lot of positive as well as negative effects in my life. Makes it a lot easier to connect with people I don't see every day, people who live at home. But I've also realized I think it really depends on the person. And for me, I went through periods of struggling with feeling really vain because I was constantly taking pictures of myself. And I was like, oh, I look like this and I look like this. And some days I'd be like, well, I just don't feel like I look pretty enough today. So I'm just like not going to snap people. And that was unhealthy for me. So I've taken breaks from it. And sometimes I do feel disconnected because people will be showing posts that they have or this funny video or something, and I'm just not even on that app, so I don't see it.
So we know that rules and restrictions are one way to tackle this challenge, but this needs to be put in place alongside teaching girls about digital well-being and giving them the tools to use social media intentionally and safely. Here's Laura again.
I liken social media to giving students the keys to a car. And you can imagine if a student didn't go through driver's ed, you would see terrible consequences from students getting behind the wheel of a car and not having the education, right, to make positive choices on the road. And so this is about empowering and equipping students rather than scaring and restricting them. So we can go on and on about the headlines about, you know, anxiety and other negative consequences. But the more that we could take a positive, proactive approach to this, it helps students learn those moves to prevent the negative from happening.
The idea of empowering and equipping rather than scaring and restricting is similar to the approach of Larissa May, founder of #HalfTheStory. Her digital well-being movement, which refers to how social media only shows half of what's real, and sometimes not even that, works with educational institutions, government, and Fortune 500 companies to rebuild the next generation's relationship with technology. The key is a parent needs to be there to provide guidance and support. Dr. Judith Locke, a clinical psychologist and researcher from Australia, has authored The Bonsai Child and The Bonsai Student about modern parenting. She says that even though parents are spending more time than ever parenting, the self-esteem and resilience of their children is not reflecting that investment.
There's really two critical factors in good parenting. The first one is responsiveness, and responsiveness is kind of the nice stuff of parenting. It's love, affection, quality time, praise, all the stuff that warms your heart as a parent. And then the second essential part of good parenting is demandingness, which is of age-appropriate behavior through using things like rules, consequences, those sorts of things. And that's probably the harder bit of parenting, but still a very essential part. And really, what's critical for good parenting is that parents are putting equal sort of effort into both of those factors to make sure that a child feels loved, but also that they're developing age-appropriate abilities and skills so that they can move beyond the home into the big wide world.
Making sure your children feel loved is one of the foundations of them developing healthy self-esteem. So, how can parents and other caring adults build confidence in the children in their lives, especially in the home environment? Dr. Locke reminds us that with the right framework in place, sometimes less is more. Children need to be allowed to make safe mistakes and learn to accept and even embrace not being perfect at everything all the time.
For example, making sure that your child is having some successes is completely understandable and it is good. You know, you can't have a child that's continually failing. They do need some sense of success or even some encouragement in the early days. And that will make them, you know, feel good about themselves and be more likely to try things. But if parents are engineering their child's life to be constant wins, and it's primarily through parent effort, the self-esteem will be very dependent on constant wins. And we know, you know, even if you're the smartest person in the world, that's not possible in the future. So what ends up happening, unfortunately, is that you are setting them up for a future, setting them up their expectations for a future that is not actually that likely. And if their self-esteem is dependent on being the best at, you know, lots and lots of things, well, that self-esteem is going to falter pretty quickly as soon as they get in to school for the first time. You know, I mean, the most annoying people to work with are the people that need to be the best at everything. You want the person that accepts their strengths, accepts their weaknesses.
If you know, love, and believe in empowering girls, please tune in to The Connected Girl. It's a mini-series released in 2024 by the International Coalition of Girls' Schools that has reached many thousands of listeners worldwide to understand both the power and possibility of the many connections in the lives of girls. Trying to control the way we feel or are perceived by others is a common thread here, it seems. If you give that idea too much power, it can heighten your stress levels. As we think about managing phone usage, one important and possibly uncomfortable truth is that parents and trusted adults are influencers too. Are you constantly on your phone and disengaged from the people around you? And are you measuring your self-worth by what others think and what they say?
And so as we bring this important conversation to a close, can you offer some final thoughts, 1 to 2 words of advice or wisdom to our listeners as they head off to huddle with their daughters?
It would be that kids can't be what they can't see. And the more that we recognize that every day we pick up our devices, we set a standard for girls. We set a standard about who to follow. We set a standard about how to use our device in the presence of other people who matter a lot to us. And they're looking to us for positive role modeling. And so my advice would be to, you know, help them see what they could become and using tech for good.
Technology, digital devices, social media, and online communities are what we make of them. Like sharp tools or fast cars, they can help us immeasurably to build and connect and thrive, but only if we know how to use them safely. We hope this episode gives you some reassurance on how to be the parent who helps your child gain those very important life-affirming skills. Thank you so much for tuning into our short series, where we round up the best nuggets from previous guests on the podcast on educating girls, produced by the International Coalition of Girls' Schools. If you liked this, you'll love the full episodes of the podcast, where listeners are offered resources, language, tips, and programs for educating and empowering girls and young women by those who educate, work with, and understand girls exceptionally well. If you're a regular listener, please help others see this content by leaving a comment and a 5-star review. For more information on the International Coalition of Girls' Schools, please visit us at girlschools.org.